I think our brother has encouraged us, whatever question gets asked, what he's already shared is the answer to anything. So it's always that feeling of following him that's the challenge. My question deals very practically with us being transformed from glory to glory. At first it looked like it was not related, but the more I looked at it, it is very much related. It says, a young person among us came out as gay and severed ties with church and family. Any advice on what to do and what not to do to help bring the person back? First thing I'd like to do is actually rephrase this question, because this limits it to someone who came out as gay. What if we just had the question as, a young person among us severed ties with church and family. Any advice on what to do and what not to do to help bring the person back? And really, as we're looking at this Christian life, we love to segment things. But really, there's a broad answer to everything that we face. And that answer is in Christ. I was speaking with a brother beforehand. And he's an evangelist, and he was sharing how people say, well, how do I share the gospel with somebody who's gay? Well, how do you share the gospel with anybody? You know, there's not a gospel for gay. There's not a gospel for alcoholics. There's not a gospel for all the various categories. There's one gospel. And as we are facing and walking through this Christian life, there's one answer to everything, and it's found in the person Christ. Dealing specifically with this question in a little more practical way, you know, this matter of people coming out in gay, it's something that many assemblies has already faced, many of his friends have faced, and every assembly, we're going to have to be facing this in real time. This is right in our face in this day and time. And we need to be equipped to be able to handle issues like this. And we know that as you look into the scripture, the matter of homosexuality, there's no question, it is a sin. And because there's a violation there, when you look at the homosexuality and everything, it's a violation of divine order. And sometimes, but when we look at the matter of the gay issue, we have a way of elevating it, stigmatizing it above other sins. Now, yes, it's called an abomination, but there are many other things that are abominations to the Lord also. The very nature of sin in and of itself is an abomination to God. When you go back to the beginning of original sin in Genesis with Adam and Eve, there was a great violation of divine order. God had his way that he wanted Adam and Eve to live, and they said no. They wanted to do it their way. That was the original violation of God's divine order and a challenge against God's very nature and character of living. And he had a way of life he wanted us to live. And man, at that point in time, said no. We want to do it our way. And we see how even before then, the pride of one angel magnified himself in such a way that he was thrown down. We see this, the pride is there, and pride is within each and every one of us. Pride is an abomination. The very nature of us as unborn believers, those that are we haven't been born again yet, so we're still unborn. You get up here sometimes, you get all tongue-tied around in your words. But before you're born again, we're each and every one of us are reprobate sinners. And each and every one of us are capable of anything. If we're ever sit back and say, how could they turn out like that? How could they do that? We don't know the nature of sin. It's within each of us. But praise God, as our brother just shared, we now have a new life within us. We have been born again. Because that very sinful nature is an abomination, is a very abomination. You know, when we look at this matter of homosexuality, it is described in the Scripture as an abomination. But what are some of the other things described as an abomination? Lying is an abomination to the Lord. Spreading strife among brethren is an abomination to the Lord. We need to be careful that we not pick out certain sins and focus upon them as worse than others. Because I will say that in the day and time we're living in, there's a great spiritual force that we need to be aware of behind the whole LGBT movement. There's a force that's coming against, and it's a very anti-Christ force. Is challenging the very nature of creation of man. And but when we as believers are confronted with this, what is our call? What is our call when we're confronted, when we come across any sinner? Our call is to lead people to Christ. Our call is not to change them to heterosexuality. Our call is to lead people to Christ, and then, as we've been hearing all weekend, the Holy Spirit can do the changing work. Our call is to bring them to Christ. Whether if they're an unbeliever, our call is to bring them to Christ for salvation. If they are a believer, and some might disagree with me, but their believers can be gay. Okay. But when we're speaking with ones of this, our call with anyone is to lead them to Christ, that Christ can do that sanctifying work within their heart and their life. The question asks, how do we handle this? And the thing about it is, how do we handle it with anybody? How do you handle it with a drug addict? How do you handle it with somebody who's addicted to alcohol? How do you handle it with an adulterer? We bring them to Christ and we allow the Lord to be working within them and all of that. As, particularly as we're dealing specifically this morning, this question of coming out as gay, one little verse in Romans has been a great encouragement to me. After in Romans 1, where it speaks of the abomination of homosexuality, what does it say in Romans 2? It says, the kindness of God leads to repentance. Not the severity in that case. It's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. And actually, if you look around Christianity today, so often we haven't been very kind to the LGBT community. But we can see, too, that in your dealing with these, we can accept the person, but we're not accepting their actions. I'm thankful how the Lord loved the whole world, and He accepted us. He didn't appreciate our actions, but He came forth and He died for each and every one of us. Now, it's a broad question to answer in a few minutes here, but we'll touch. The question was asked about, how do you handle it in a family? Well, let's recognize the situation within the family. When someone is getting ready to, if someone is coming out in the family, you need to, by the grace of God, be as gracious as you can. That person is coming to you with a full expectation in their heart that you are going to reject them. They're saying, because they finally built up the courage to share with ones that they've been with their whole life, that they are gay, they're coming out. And they're expecting to be rejected. And we don't want to fall into that trap. We want to be gracious to them. And by God's grace, we don't get mad. We don't get upset. We don't tell them how disappointed we are. We don't say, oh, you brought shame to the family. What do the brother people think? That's focusing upon us. But what we need to convey to them is that we still love them, and they're still part of our family. And This is not the time to start throwing Bible verses at them. They already know the Bible. That's why they've been hesitant on even coming out. If they didn't know the Bible or believe in it, they'd have outed themselves many years ago. But there was something that they're wrestling with inside. It's also not the time to then, okay, we can get some counselors and we can fix you. There might be a time for that counseling at some other point. But at this point in time when someone comes out, what we need to convey to them is the love, the kindness, the acceptance we have of them as an individual, and love them to the uttermost through this. Now we need to share with them that it's probably going to catch us off guard. But we need to convey to them that we would like to hear from them. We want to be at this time, as it says in James, quick to hear, slow to speak. And really hear. Tell them that we would love to hear their story. Tell me how this came about in you. Show interest in their life. You know, it's not a matter of agreeing. You can understand what goes on in someone's life without agreeing with their end point. So often, people, they don't feel like they've even had a chance to explain themselves. Listen to what they're saying. Listen to their head. What point was it that drove them to this? And you might even say, look, all this is a shock to me. Give me a couple of days to kind of work my way through this, and then let's sit down and have a talk. And listen to them in such a way. The key thing is offering our love and concern, and also praying. Praying for them. And try within our being, again, as we've said, the issue isn't that they've come out as gay. What if they come out as a drug addict? What if they come out as an alcoholic? On and on and on. The issue is we need to really be able to bring them to Christ in such a living way. And to be let them know that we're available to them. We don't want to be the ones shutting the doors. Now, they might shut the door on their own. Okay, they might just come out and say, no, I don't want to talk, I don't want to do. But as far as us, we want to keep an open door to be able to talk with them and to have fellowship with them. And then maybe at some future point in time, if they open a door for questions about this, we can come in, walk in that door gently, not with a sledgehammer to beat them up with the Word of God, but gently come in. And be able to bring more and more of the Word of God, the truth, to them, to be helping them in this day and time. It's, praise God. It's like our brother said, we can't live the Christian life. In situations like this, we are utterly cast upon the Lord. It's beyond us. Don't try to handle it in yourself. The Holy Spirit within us can help us, can lead us through this. This is where we need the wisdom of God. But we keep understanding that it's the kindness of God. And we need to know, because so often ones have ended up within this community, and as the studies have shown, they're not attracted to the community first because of their sexual activity. It's because of acceptance. They find someone who listens to them and accepts them as they are. You know, I remember it also talked about how they left the church. You know, the church, Lance used to say, the church is a hospital for sick people. Each and every one of us was sick when we were saved. We've each got our own little nuances, our own little special sickness that the Lord needs to work with. And are we creating an environment within our assemblies that those that are sick, those that are hurting, can really come and find the Lord in a very dear way? If we're dealing within the assembly, when someone comes out and is gay, again, we need to listen to them. We need to talk and have fellowship with them. And in the similar way as it was within the family, just to try to gain that understanding of where they're coming from and what it is so that we can be of help to them. Probably the main question we need to ask them within an assembly is, are they abstaining? Are they celibate? Or are they active? Are they practicing that? But that's actually what is asked of everybody You know, if excuse the bluntness, but you know, within life, the only place for sexual activity is in marriage. Marriage is between a man and a woman. Anything outside of that is sin. It doesn't matter whether it's straight people that are straight or heterosexual having sin out of marriage. It doesn't matter if you're homosexual and having sin. I mean, having sex out of marriage. Sin out of marriage is sin regardless of who does it. Okay, there's nothing. You know, so let's, we have a way of, you know, some young guy goes off to college and sleeps with a girl and we say, oh, he's just sowing his oats. We have a way of kind of laughing it off and not, you know, some girl goes off and falls in love with a girl at college and, oh, we're horrified. Both of them are sin. We need to be facing this. This is the days we're living in. If ones are abstaining from sin and they just see that they have these homosexual tendencies, but they also know that that's not right and they want to work through it. Are we providing an environment in our assemblies to help them work through that? Are we providing an environment for them so that they can wrestle with this and we were with them, we're available to them to wrestle through it? If they are celibate and have a heart for the Lord, let's not treat them as a special category. We need to be consistent within our assembly as far as ones that can serve. You know, if we have a young man who says, look, I have these homosexual tendencies, but I'm not acting on them, I'm being celibate, I know it's wrong, and I'm trying to work through it, do we let him serve or do we say, no, you sit over there? But we let the sister who's the biggest gossip in the whole church, who backbites everybody, we let her play the piano. Hey, there's got to be some consistency here. Are people sleeping around with one another? This, whatever. But we say, no, you sit over here. That's what sends a message to ones like this one, that there's a hypocrisy. There's things going on that's what drives them away. It's not so much the teaching. They know what's right and wrong, most of them. But we see how within this situation, we've got to provide an environment within our assemblies that those, whether they're homosexual, whether they're having drug addicts or alcoholics, whatever, that they can find a place to find the Lord in a living way, to work through the situation. Allow this Holy Spirit to do that work of transforming from glory to glory. And at times it can be, it's not a pretty scene. I can't remember if it was Hudson Taylor or somebody we were reading about, and he said, when you're working with people that live in a pig pen, they live in the gutters of the street, when you work with them, you're going to get dirty too. Are we willing to get dirty? Not participate in the sin, but just when you're around ones that are living in sin, it's going to, you feel that. But praise God for the blood that cleanses us. But are we willing to get our hands dirty to help ones make it through these challenges that they face in life? This is the call of God upon us. Praise God as we're available to them, as we continue to direct them to Christ, and as the love of Christ captures their heart, the Lord can lead them on into a full measure of Him. Now, there are many times ones that they meet the Lord. At times they have homosexual tendencies. The Lord does a great work, and it's completely changed. There are cases too where ones they meet the Lord, they love the Lord, they're given to the Lord, but they still have this tendency within them. But they're abstaining and they're being faithful to the Lord. We don't need to look down on them. But we need to have that understanding. There's things within each and every one of us that no matter how long we've been Christians, there's still temptations in our life. And we know we can't go there. I know in my own life, gambling is a big issue. I used to love to play cards. I could count cards. But even if I'm channel surfing and if I see what World Series of Poker on, there's something still there that says, look at that. And I have to say, no, got to keep going. I can't pause for a second. We each have things like that in our life. And those that have those homosexual tendencies can have that still. Even though they're loving the Lord, they're serving the Lord, they're going on. Maybe they're married, they have children. But there's still something. At times, that can be there. But as the more we encourage them on in Christ, they will find Christ as their all and in all. And He's the one that has overcome. And so we need to, there's an education, there's an awakening that we as the body of Christ need in this hour. Because this is a very real challenge that we're all facing. And we need to know how to rightly represent the King of Glory in the midst of this. Because God so loved the whole world, every one of them, that He sent His only begotten Son, that none would perish. He's for them. We want to be for them. That we can be those walking with them. That they can be transformed from glory to glory.